This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Welcome to Wiggins America. This is going to be a very, very full show, and I have some things that I can't wait to talk about. One of those is coming up next. It's going to be a whole segment devoted to the state of California with a guy named Craig Huey. He is the namesake for the Huey Report. It is both a newsletter and a podcast. He himself, though, his story is that he moved from California to Tennessee, moved his entire business. And we're going to talk a little bit about the logistical nightmare of doing that, and yet people are still doing it. Jeff Bezos, actually, not from California, but moved from the West Coast this week to Florida and had a lot of nice things to say about the West Coast. He doesn't want to burn any bridges, but he's still moving to Florida. So we'll talk to Craig Huey next, but we're going to talk Jenna Ellis. Now, this is something that last week I wanted to bring up, her testimony to that Georgia court that is trying Trump for racketeering, not even insurrection. You're going to hear that word a lot because they're trying to keep him off the ballot using it. But nobody's actually ever tried him for insurrection, and he's never been found guilty of that. That's why it won't stand in court eventually. But her testimony was an embarrassment. And we're going to talk about that actually at the very end of this hour as to why that was an embarrassment. I'm looking forward to that. I really am, because I've had a chance to really sit and think about it. Now, in the next hour, we're going to have Old Roy in and Trisha for serious questions. And at the very end of the show, we are going to play the brand new Beatles song. If you've been following this show for long, you'll know that I love the Beatles. And my apologies, by the way, to the podcasters ahead of time, because you're going to hear at the end of the show me introduce the song, but then the song won't be there because we can't put it on the podcast legally, but we can air it over the broadcast waves. So that's all coming up here on Wiggins America. It's going to be a big show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo. This is just the intro, so stick around. Wiggins America, on the phone with us is Craig Huey. We're talking about California a little bit. As a refugee of California, Craig Huey, how is California doing these days?
You know, California, with all of its beauty, resources, incredible potential, and, of course, wonderful weather, is failing. It's falling apart. Anyone who is listening that visits California, on the surface, they'll see the homeless. If they turn on the news, all they'll do is hear about shootings and killings and robberies because it's become lawless. But if you take a look at what people's reaction is, you've got close to 500,000 people who have fled California just in the last few years. You got 5.5 businesses a week leaving California. They're small companies, entrepreneurs, the big companies like Oracle and Charles Schwab and the car manufacturers leaving California. And it is really an economic mess right now. It's an economy. Ryan, can you imagine a state of California having a budget deficit of $35 billion? And it's not going to get any better next year because the tax revenues have collapsed. It's a regulatory strangulation on businesses that are driving businesses out, and a pretty unlivable high cost of living driving people out.
Yeah, Craig, you know, it gives me no joy to talk about these things. I'm from Illinois, so I still live in Illinois. Downstate, of course, where most of us are at least somewhat sane, but we're run by Chicago, and it's the same thing. My wife's from Chicago. We visited there for a wedding not too long ago. It's a beautiful city in so many ways, just like you were saying about California. It's beautiful. There's so much about it to love. And yet, it is policy making. And we were going to talk about Gavin Newsom, but it's really not just Gavin Newsom. It's progressive, it's leftist ideologies that are ruining great places that have, you know, a lot of inertia behind them. So it's not going to be overnight that these places completely collapse. But when you're talking about Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, opening up state or trying to open up state-run grocery stores because they can't get grocery stores to move into the city, you know that you're 12 steps down the wrong path in these places.
Absolutely. And what you're seeing in Chicago is happening throughout the state of California. And you've got Gavin Newsom wanting to have government-run, government-controlled, socialist, control of the economy where they're actually running businesses. And he comes across as articulate, as somebody who is filled with energy, somebody who has a vision for America, filled with hope. Ryan, he had his own TV program once. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
There was a progressive radical left TV network called Current TV. It was bought out by Al Jazeera, He had his weekly program where he fine-tuned his ability to interview and debate with conservatives and with a variety of different people. The man feels he has the ability to challenge anyone on the left or the right as he moves towards running for president, bringing California's failed policies, his socialist outlook to the United States. And this man feels he's nothing can stop him. That's why he's going to have a debate with Ron DeSantis, which will be quite interesting because I don't think Ron DeSantis is prepared to know what he's going to face.
Really? That surprises me to hear that, because when I see DeSantis debate, and I don't just mean at the GOP debates, I mean debate the media, he seems pretty sharp to me. So I thought this was maybe an opportunity to take somebody like Gavin Newsom down a few pegs, but you're saying, wow, he's actually pretty good at this.
Well, let me give you a couple of examples, and I'll explain why, because I'm sure this is going to create incredible national attention that Gavin Newsom's counting on it being favorable to him. So Ron DeSantis is not a student of the radical left policies of California. But Gavin Newsom is prepared to challenge Gavin Newsom with lies, half-truths, a barrage of figures. When he talks about California, I'll give you an example here. When he was with Sean Hannity, he's been with Sean Hannity twice. He's wiped out Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity cannot debate him for this reason. Newsom is able to avoid answering a question, throws out four or five statistics, and comes back to why he's the greatest governor and California is the greatest state in the nation. And an example, for example, was the gasoline tax in California. In California, the politicians want to have high gasoline prices. So between the regulations and the taxes, it's the second most expensive in the nation. And they want to have it be the most expensive to drive everybody to EVs. So what Newsom did with Hannity, he said, gasoline in California, you know, we've done the calculations. The fact is it's only 80 cents of the whole price. It's the greedy oil companies that have driven up the price. It's, we only charge 80 cents. And then if you take a look at the facts, and if Hannity had the facts, he'd be able to go back and show them it was over $1.30. Of government taxes and extra costs because of regulations that are imposed by the state of California. So Newsom knows how to twist things. He's very slick. He's well-polished. He's very authoritative. He comes off with a moral higher ground. And he's just slick. He's a slick politician.
That's the best word I've ever heard to describe him, is slick.
That's right.
He's so, very slick, yeah.
That debate's going to be very interesting. I'm rooting for Ron DeSantis. I want Ron DeSantis to expose the fallacies, because he philosophically, economically, morally, you've got corruption on the part of Newsom. But for DeSantis to be able to come across well, When Newsom is throwing out multiple facts that are distorted and false comparisons, it's going to be a very interesting debate.
Yeah.
Newsom's expert on this.
It is. November 30th is, I think, the date for that debate. So that is coming up actually pretty soon. And we will be very much tuned into that. I think that'll be must-see TV. It's almost like the, it's not quite the VP debate, but these two guys may not be the front runners in 2024, but they may be the future of the party on both sides. So I think everybody's going to be watching this. And I think the best argument against Gavin Newsom that DeSantis will be able to make is, hey, why do people keep leaving your state and coming to mine? Why do people keep doing that? Why do, you know what they should bring up? Why does Craig Hue, why did Craig Huey leave your state and go to Tennessee? That's a great question.
Exactly right. And just to give listeners an example, why did I leave the state? Well, for some of the reasons I mentioned, the crime, the homelessness, the high cost. But let me tell you, as a business owner, I have an advertising marketing company that I've won 108 awards for. We started in California when I was out of college. California was something that helped us build that business and create thousands of jobs. Well, we had to leave because Newsom has a law that basically says you can't hire freelance help. You can't hire freelancers. They have to be employees.
Oh, yeah.
And over half of my employees want to be freelancers. And so I had to escape. I had no choice as a business owner. And that's why you find these companies fleeing California. The regulations are so heavy. I saved, as a business owner, from moving from California to Tennessee, I saved all the costs of moving within about 8 months.
Wow.
And and so moving your family is really hard, especially if you're leaving relatives and friends, people at your church. Moving a business is even harder. But I got to tell you, they're doing it because Newsom's broken socialist policy.
Yeah. And you just described why I have not left Illinois yet. I mean, we're close enough. I'm standing in St. Louis, Missouri right now talking to you.
Yeah.
So we're close enough to good conservative policies. And I live in a very conservative area of Illinois. So we're sheltered a little bit from some of these things. But you just described it. It's tough. It's tough to move. It's tough to leave your church, your family. That's where all my roots are, is right there in the metro east of Illinois. Craig Huey, thank you so much for your time, since we're out of time. But how do people find your podcast or the Huey Report if they want to connect with you?
Go to CraigHuey.com. CraigHuey.com. You'll see about the books, the free newsletter, the podcast, everything.
All right, CraigHuey.com. All in one place. All the different things you're doing in one place. Easy to find. CraigHuey.com. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it this weekend.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, we'll catch up again soon, and we will be right back with more Wiggins America. All right, Mr. Roy Beans.
Howdy.
Let's talk about Josh Hawley.
Let's do it.
He's making some news. Do you know why?
He wrote a book.
That's not why he's making news. Everybody writes books.
Oh, sorry.
I have a book. I don't even make news.
That's true.
Yeah. My book's awesome, by the way. Roy endorses it. Don't say anything. Stop. it's called The Life of Human. Why not take this opportunity to just promote it? We're here. So Josh Hawley, you're correct, has written a book. But I'm going to read this story because I like the way it's presented. Gives you a little history on where it comes from, and then it gets into the Hawley stuff, okay?
Okay.
So it says, more than a decade ago, President Obama scolded the Supreme Court for reversing a century of law and opening the floodgates for special interests to spend without limit in our elections. During the State of the Union, while the former president qualified his criticism by offering all due deference to the separation of powers, which is good, Justice Samuel Alito was there in their room, because it's the State of the Union, was caught on camera muttering an objection. Seated in front of the House of Representatives, Alito seemed to say, not true. Meanwhile, Chief Justice John Roberts, who had employed a young lawyer from Missouri just 2 years prior, didn't move a muscle. That was Senator Josh Hawley. And he told Real Clear Politics that episode predates me, even though he was around. He wasn't in the Senate yet or in the legislature at all. But on the substance of the question, the senior Republican senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, says the same young lawyer who once clerked for Roberts on the high court himself now sides with Obama. Roberts on the high court sides with Obama. not the conservative justices, so, albeit for very reasons. So Hawley is siding here with Obama concerning Citizens United. And traditionally, this has been a Democrat position that Citizens United, that Supreme Court case that basically opened up corporations to spending in elections, has been a terrible thing for democracy. And I'm summarizing here, but this has been a long-held position. You probably have heard this many times that they say, well, you can't have... And the argument against it is, well, this is free speech. You can't tell somebody how to spend their money. That's illegal. This is a free speech issue. They can support whoever they want candidates. And so it opened up basically super PACs, political action committees, to be the place where money was funneled in elections more than campaigns even. So it changed the way that elections are held really in the United States. Hawley, though, is taking a conservative position now and saying, yes, I agree with the traditional Democrat talking point that corporations shouldn't be able to buy elections.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Mr. Roy Beans.
Howdy.
Let's talk about Josh Hawley.
Let's do it.
He's making some news. Do you know why?
He wrote a book.
That's not why he's making news. Everybody writes books.
Oh, sorry.
I have a book. I don't even make news.
That's true.
Yeah. My book's awesome, by the way. Roy endorses it. Don't say anything. Stop. it's called The Life of Human. Why not take this opportunity to just promote it? We're here. So Josh Hawley... You're correct, has written a book, but I'm going to read this story because I like the way it's presented. Gives you a little history on where it comes from, and then it gets into the Hawley stuff, okay?
Okay.
So it says, more than a decade ago, President Obama scolded the Supreme Court for reversing a century of law and opening the floodgates for special interests to spend without limit in our elections. During the State of the Union... While the former president qualified his criticism by offering all due deference to the separation of powers, which is good, Justice Samuel Alito was there in the room because it's the State of the Union, was caught on camera muttering an objection. Seated in front of the House of Representatives, Alito seemed to say, not true. Meanwhile, Chief Justice John Roberts, who had employed a young lawyer from Missouri just 2 years prior, didn't move a muscle. That was Senator Josh Hawley. And he told Real Clear Politics that episode predates me, even though he was around. He wasn't in the Senate yet or in the legislature at all. But on the substance of the question, the senior Republican senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, says the same young lawyer who once clerked for Roberts on the high court himself now sides with Obama. Roberts on the high court sides with Obama, not the conservative justices. So, albeit for very reasons. So Hawley is siding here with Obama concerning Citizens United. And traditionally, this has been a Democrat position that Citizens United, that Supreme Court case that basically opened up corporations to spending in elections, has been a terrible thing for democracy. And I'm summarizing here, but this has been a long-held position. You probably have heard this many times that they say, well, you can't have – and the argument against it is, well, this is free speech. You can't tell somebody how to spend their money. That's illegal. This is a free speech issue. They can support whoever they want candidates. And so it opened up basically super PACs, political action committees, to be the place where money was funneled in elections more than campaigns even. So it changed the way that elections are held really in the United States. Hawley, though, is taking a conservative position now and saying, yes, I agree with the traditional Democrat talking point that corporations shouldn't be able to buy elections. And they even ask him, I think, at the end of this article, let me find it, they say, he says, let's get one thing straight. Corporations are not people. Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. You're saying, you know, the Mitt Romney thing. The crowd that was gathered at this point when he said this over the summer didn't really move. They were like,
Yeah.
And then he says, well, I've got news for these woke corporations. We're not going to surrender this nation to the cultural Marxist and the C-suite. And then everybody went crazy. Oh, yeah, we love it. So he's coming at it from a completely different angle. And he's saying corporations have become so woke that they are not to be trusted and they're buying elections, which may be true. But they ask at the end of this article, would Hawley still seek to muzzle corporations if the content of their speech was different? And the quote that they pulled here from him says, well, actions do have consequences, as in, yeah, my position has changed. What do you think about this?
I think it's pretty pathetic because it's an obvious flip-flop and it's an obvious one that doesn't hold up to critical thinking. I mean, it's hypocrisy. I wonder if his initial reaction is not, hey, I'm going to support Obama, but I'm not going to badmouth the guy who gave me my start, you know, clerking for Roberts.
Well, maybe I didn't explain the fullness of what he's saying, because he's not just saying it. He's actually introducing in the Senate legislation to outlaw corporate donations, which would be allowed because the Supreme Court was just ruling on an existing law. So if Congress were to pass a new law, it would supersede that decision. So if he can get enough Democrats, probably, to agree with him, which is a weird place to be now, because Democrats are going to hear him and go, oh, wait, are we shooting ourselves in the foot now? So they would be, if they don't agree with him, they're flip-flopping too.
Yeah, it's one of the many things that bothers me about politics is that it's good when my side does it and it's bad when your side does it. Mentality is just frustrating. But the bigger thing for me on this issue, and I've avoided many times getting into discussions about it because I think it's too nuanced a thing to say it's black or white, either no money in politics or free flow money in politics. It's to me, it's a matter of anybody can try to bribe you, but if you don't take the bribe, then it's irrelevant. And so the politicians get real crafty in putting the blame on the corporate interests and the lobbyists. Well, you're the one taking it. And then the comeback to that is, well, that's how the game is played. And that's just lazy. I think it comes back to what we've talked about a lot before is what is the individual doing and what are the choices that they're making? And passing the buck like this, like, well, I didn't have a choice but to take that money because otherwise I would have lost. Well, that's a bad argument. It always has been. And that's the thing that I always, my mind always goes to that when this issue comes up about money in politics is I don't think there's a way to stop it. And I don't even know stopping it entirely is the right answer. But there is a way to have honor and have ethics and say, no, I won't take your money if there's strings attached.
Well, I agree with you, you free-thinking radical, that it's all about people just doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, duh. I mean, I do actually agree with you. It's just that expecting politicians and all this money to do the right thing, it kind of, this would be a little bit leveling the playing field. I don't agree with it, though. I've really thought this through, and I kind of like went through a couple cycles of, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, maybe I don't. And I've kind of come down on the side that you're talking about, which is this is kind of a free speech issue. Where your money goes, money talks. I mean, you want to put a label on it, money talks, and this was a free speech issue. And that's why the Supreme Court said what they said, which is you can't muzzle people from expressing their political points of view. And the argument is, well, these aren't people, these are corporations. But it to me, it is a free speech issue just because corporations are doing what we would call the wrong thing with their free speech. The answer isn't muzzle free speech. The answer is more free speech. That's what we've always said, is that if somebody's using their free speech incorrectly, the answer isn't muzzle them. The answer is open up the dialogue even further so that better ideas can trounce those ideas. That's kind of where I land on this.
No, I agree with that. In general, I think that's the more conservative approach to a lot of this. But the bigger picture for me, take this particular issue out of it, it has the same dynamics of every other political problem, is that there already are safeguards in place. We're just not using them.
Mm-hmm.
Take gun control. The gun laws are there. We're just not enforcing them.
Yeah, immigration. Yeah, great.
The laws are there. We're just not enforcing them. And we're not utilizing the tools that we have to counteract this.
It's crime in cities. Laws are there.
So if you look at this situation, if a corporation is spending money that the shareholders don't agree with, then take action. As a shareholder, there are things set in place for you to do, but people don't do it. So it's more than just, oh, a politician should be ethical. Yeah, that is kind of a duh. But everybody down the line, we have term limits in place. It's called voting. But people don't exercise that. We get lazy. We get complacent. We get, you know, depressed that, well, my vote doesn't count. You know, what impact can I have? And it goes back to that fundamental, if everybody, which isn't real because there's always going to be somebody who's doing the wrong thing, but if more people would step up and do the things that are there for them to do that were put in place, because I go back to the founding fathers thought this through really, really well, and they put all of these safeguards in place, all of these checks and balances. We just don't use them. And one of the worst things that I think Obama did to this country was he made it popular because the most powerful person on the planet basically took the position, if I don't like the rules, I can change them. And then everybody's like, oh, I didn't. Okay, let's do that.
Executive orders, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he really did expand
or
that.
Or just, I'm going to bypass Congress.
Yeah.
Which means I'm going to bypass the voters, which means I'm going to disregard the entire structure of our republic. And that has taken hold in the minds of a lot of people as a legitimate and justifies the means. And it I'm taking this to a really broad theological and philosophical place that you probably didn't intend, but I think it really does come down to that. We could argue all day long about, well, can we put this thing legislation into affect morality, and it doesn't work. It never has.
Yeah. No, I mean, my rebuttal to you with the term limits thing of all the things you just mentioned is two words: Mike Madigan, Speaker of the House of Illinois for a long, long time. That would have helped that issue a little bit. But I hear what you're saying about term limits and voting, because that really is the check. So ultimately, Senator Hawley, if you're listening, or your people are listening, old Roy, an Illinois resident, disagrees.
There you go.
There you go. All right, we'll take a short break. I'm actually going to come back and really dissect this Jenna Ellis stuff. I waited a week to do it because I wanted to get my mind around it. I think you're going to want to stick around for what constitutional experts are saying and what Jenna Ellis had to say, which you may have already heard, but we'll talk about it. Well, this clip is not from this week. I actually had this queued up last week, and I wanted to play it. And I'm not going to tell you we ran out of time. I just couldn't figure out how to work it into the show last week because I was really just kind of mad about it. I thought that this person was being a coward, and my only comment on the clip would have been, watch this person fold like a tray table. But it's Jenna Ellis, and I am going to play the clip for you. Now, she speaks for, I think, a total of about 2 minutes, maybe a little bit more, but I've pared it down to, I did two clips. One was 20 seconds, one was 40. And that's the main substance of it. Some of it's welcome, Your Honor, you know, and some of that stuff. But I wanted to give the full context. So I'm going to play the longer version here. And I think what saddens me is that Jenna Ellis has been somebody who I thought throughout this process, and I don't know her at all, and some of these people that I've even had on the show, I can't say that I know them. You know, like Liz Harrington, for instance, has been on the show. She hasn't changed her tune at all, but I don't know her personally, even though we've spoken. And you've heard us speak if you've listened long enough. Somebody like that. Now, I've never had Jenna Ellis on the show, but I've always respected her. I thought she seemed to be somebody who had her feet on the ground. You know, because some of these people, they're a little bit nutty in the Trump orbit. She's not. She never seemed like one of them to me. But man, did she fall apart. Let's play the clip. And this is the bulk of the substance of what she had to say in this Georgia court, where she basically just turned on everything she'd been saying for the last 3 years.
I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true. In the frenetic pace of attempting to raise challenges to the election in several states, including Georgia, I failed to do my due diligence. I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges.
It's the sound of somebody crumpling. I would love to address the substance of what she's saying, but what she says is nothing. She passes the buck. I mean, she has been somebody who has been outspoken about not just election integrity issues, but a lot of the Trump stuff. And she hasn't, I think it's kind of semi-famously, hasn't been 100% pro-Trump. And it's one of the reasons that I thought she deserves some respect, because she seemed to approach things, you know, somewhat objectively. Because if you're just 100% pro anybody, whether it's Trump or anybody else, take his name out of the equation, you're going to be wrong sometimes, because people are wrong sometimes. So I think it's good to approach things as objectively as you can, so that you're sticking to principles, not people. And that's actually my criticism of the MAGA movement in a lot of ways, is that it does seem to be a little bit of a cult of personality, even though the actual MAGA, Make America Great Again, or America First, as I like to refer to it, are great principles. So it's more to me about the principles and the fact that Trump represents the bulk of those principles, and so do some of the other politicians on the ballot right now trying to make some position. They're not doing it. It's going to be Trump. So why even have that discussion? But Jenna Ellis has always seemed to be somebody who I thought was at least a little bit clear-eyed. Then this has completely, I mean, her credibility is gone. And let me be clear, not because she's now disagreeing with the narrative that I have mostly agreed with. I wouldn't even say mostly agreed with, but generally had an open mind to and examined case by case, as you've heard if you listen to this show for any amount of time. She also has been doing that. And she's been doing it publicly. And she says even in that clip, in her tearful apology, like that's the other thing that just makes me so mad. You have basically crumbled under pressure. Because if you were saying that, you know what, this is my come to Jesus moment. I've been lying. I've been knowingly lying to people for a long time, or at least I suspected that there was some untruths here, to be generous, but I wasn't able to call them out, and this is my moment to do that. Well, if that was genuine, then I would respect that. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is you have a successful podcast. You're getting cases, usually conservative cases, like ACLJ-type cases. Not that she's associated with them. But, you know, conservative-leaning cases. She's done a lot of them for churches during COVID and all this stuff. You know, she's gotten a lot of money out of this for being this public persona who's willing to challenge the authority. Then all of a sudden, the authority snaps back at her and she falls apart and cries through her apology. This looks terrible for her. Now, I want to speak in just a second to the larger matter of the Trump case in Georgia, but I want to get past this first because this really is driving me crazy. And I'm really, really disappointed because what it looks like is she was real brave until somebody actually came against her, or she finally crumbled under the pressure. Because I'm sure it's not just this sudden event. You know, she's been under a lot of pressure for a long time. All these people have been for a long time. But then to apologize is one thing. In this circumstance, she's kind of taking a plea deal, cop out, please don't come after me anymore. I'm losing too much money in this, which is their goal. But she's also throwing kind of everything under the bus while she's doing it, throwing herself under the bus. She's been saying this stuff for now going on 4 years, and now all of a sudden all of it was false, and she's not taking any blame for it. She's blaming everybody else, saying, well, I didn't look into the stuff enough. Yeah, that makes you an idiot. You didn't look into this stuff, yet you've been, in your words, the voice, the mouthpiece to the media and to legislators, and you didn't look into it? As you can see, this one makes me really mad. This is your freaking job, is to look into these things, you lawyer, and you say, well, I didn't. I just didn't. For 3 years, 4 years, I just didn't really look into the claims. But I repeated them a lot, and I was making a pretty good amount of money doing it. And now that they're coming after me, I'm folding. Now, to the larger case. To the larger case. Now, I understand, but I do want to be at least a little bit understanding of somebody who's been under a tremendous amount of pressure for a long time. I mean, this is what it looks like to cave. I get it. These people have been put through the ringer. So I do have some sympathy for that. But to the larger case, as I said I was going to get to, Kilmeade had Jonathan Turley on to talk about this case. Because it's not just Jenna Ellis, although she's been the worst. You know, Sidney Powell took a plea deal. Mark Meadows looked like he took a plea deal. And everybody's saying, oh, these people are turning on Trump. I don't necessarily see that. Maybe Jenna Ellis will. And if she does, you know, this clip that I've got here will showcase what that means for Trump, and you'll be a little bit surprised. But Sidney Powell, Mark Meadows, I don't think these people are. And even if they try to turn on Trump, keep in mind that what the Georgia court has to prove is that Trump was knowingly lying and trying to convince people to do something that he knew was false. That would mean that this whole time, you and I and everybody else have seen Trump talk about the election was stolen, the election was stolen, that he's been, he knows that it wasn't and just keeps saying it, even though people have been now telling him to shut up for years. Yeah, sorry, that ain't going to happen. You're not going to prove that Trump is lying to himself. Like, that's what they have to prove to make this case. Now, regarding all of his circle here and some of these judges, Jen Allison, and not judges, but his counsel turning on him, so to speak, what are they actually going to be able to provide? That's the big question. And if you look this topic up, you're going to find a whole lot of news stories on how this is the end of Trump. Trump's going to be in jail. Well, listen to this about a minute clip here of Jonathan Turley, who, Now, you talk about clear-eyed. This dude knows what he's talking about. And I left Kilmeade's reaction at the end just because I'm like, yeah, that's mine too. All right, here you go.
No, I don't think you are missing anything. I said the same thing when these pleas came down and everyone said, oh, this is the end of Trump. And I said, you know, I wouldn't say that. I mean, first of all, these pleas were to very specific crimes with regard to a couple of these attorneys in terms of getting unauthorized access to election areas. Those are easy to prove. They're misdemeanors. They got a deal where they could walk without jail time. It does not necessarily mean that they're going to establish a racketeering claim. They didn't plead guilty to racketeering. They didn't plead guilty to conspiracy. Now, Alice may be a problem because she has become fairly opposed or hostile to Trump. I mean, she's made some public comments about Trump. And, you know, there may be animus there. But once again, your point's a good one. You know, you can't have it. Putting aside the fact you're using attorneys against a client, these attorneys are essentially saying, how dare you believe what I told you?
Right. Isn't that great? The whole case, if they flipped, because it's not even guaranteed that they're giving them any sort of information. But let's say they do. And they're like, yeah, now I hate Trump. Let me go against him. I'm working with you now, Fannie Willis or whatever her name is in Georgia, to prosecute Trump for racketeering and conspiracy. I think he was wrong the whole time. I'm going to work with you. And now they're saying he's guilty of believing my advice. Like, what? So he's guilty because all the things I made up is what they would have to be saying. I made up a bunch of facts, gave them to my client. He's guilty of believing me. This case is going nowhere. We'll be right back. What she
said. Get more at 971talk.com.
Well, this clip is not from this week. I actually had this queued up last week, and I wanted to play it. And I'm not going to tell you we ran out of time. I just couldn't figure out how to work it into the show last week because I was really just kind of mad about it. I thought that this person was being a coward, and my only comment on the clip would have been, watch this person fold like a tray table. But it's Jenna Ellis, and I am going to play the clip for you. Now, she speaks for, I think, a total of about 2 minutes, maybe a little bit more, but I've pared it down to, I did two clips. One was 20 seconds, one was 40, and that's the main substance of it. Some of it's welcome, Your Honor, you know, and some of that stuff. But I wanted to give the full context, so I'm going to play the longer version here. And I think what saddens me is that Jenna Ellis has been somebody who I thought throughout this process, and I don't know her at all, and some of these people that I've even had on the show, I can't say that I know them, you know, like Liz Harrington, for instance, has been on the show. She hasn't changed her tune at all, but I don't know her personally, even though we've spoken. And you've heard us speak if you've listened long enough. Somebody like that. Now, I've never had Jenna Ellis on the show, but I've always respected her. I thought she seemed to be somebody who had her feet on the ground, you know, because some of these people, they're a little bit nutty in the Trump orbit. She never seemed like one of them to me. But man, did she fall apart. Let's play the clip. And this is the bulk of the substance of what she had to say in this Georgia court, where she basically just turned on everything she'd been saying for the last 3 years.
I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true. In the frenetic pace of attempting to raise challenges to the election in several states, including Georgia, I failed to do my due diligence. I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges.
It's the sound of somebody crumpling. I would love to address the substance of what she's saying, but what she says is nothing. She passes the buck. I mean, she has been somebody who has been outspoken about not just election integrity issues, but a lot of the Trump stuff. And she hasn't, I think it's kind of semi-famously, hasn't been 100% pro-Trump. And it's one of the reasons that I thought she deserves some respect, because she seemed to approach things, you know, somewhat objectively. Because if you're just 100% pro anybody, whether it's Trump or anybody else, take his name out of the equation, you're going to be wrong sometimes, because people are wrong sometimes. So I think it's good to approach things as objectively as you can, so that you're sticking to principles, not people. And that's actually my criticism of the MAGA movement in a lot of ways, is that it does seem to be a little bit of a cult of personality, even though the actual MAGA, Make America Great Again, or America First, as I like to refer to it, are great principles. So it's more to me about the principles and the fact that Trump represents the bulk of those principles, and so do some of the other politicians on the ballot right now trying to make some position. They're not doing it. It's going to be Trump. So why even have that discussion? But Jenna Ellis has always seemed to be somebody who I thought was at least a little bit clear-eyed. Then this has completely, I mean, her credibility is gone. And let me be clear, not because she's now disagreeing with the narrative that I have mostly agreed with. I wouldn't even say mostly agreed with, but generally had an open mind to and examined case by case, as you've heard if you listen to this show for any amount of time. She also has been doing that, and she's been doing it publicly. And she says, even in that clip, in her tearful apology, like, that's the other thing that just makes me so mad. You have basically crumbled under pressure, because if you were saying that, you know what, this is my come to Jesus moment, I've been lying, I've been knowingly lying to people for a long time, or at least I suspected that there was some untruths here, to be generous, but I wasn't able to call them out, and this is my moment to do that. Well, if that was genuine, then I would respect that, but that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is you have a successful podcast, you're getting cases, usually conservative cases, like ACLJ-type cases, not that she's associated with them, but, you know, conservative-leaning cases. She's done a lot of them for churches during COVID and all this stuff. You know, she's gotten a lot of money out of this for being this public persona who's willing to challenge the authority. Then all of a sudden, the authority snaps back at her, and she falls apart and cries through her apology. This looks terrible for her. Now, I want to speak in just a second to the larger matter of the Trump case in Georgia, but I want to get past this first, because this really is driving me crazy, and I'm really, really disappointed, because what it looks like is she was real brave until somebody actually came against her, or she finally crumbled under the pressure, because I'm sure it's not just this sudden event. You know, she's been under a lot of pressure for a long time. All these people have been for a long time. But then to apologize is one thing. In this circumstance, she's kind of taking a plea deal, cop out, please don't come after me anymore, I'm losing too much money in this, which is their goal. But she's also throwing kind of everything under the bus while she's doing it, throwing herself under the bus. She's been saying this stuff for now going on 4 years, and now all of a sudden all of it was false, and she's not taking any blame for it. She's blaming everybody else, saying, well, I didn't look into the stuff enough. Yeah, that makes you an idiot. You didn't look into this stuff, yet you've been, in your words, the voice, the mouthpiece to the media and to legislators, and you didn't look into it? As you can see, this one makes me really mad. This is your freaking job, is to look into these things, you lawyer, and you say, well, I didn't. I just didn't. For 3 years, 4 years, I just didn't really look into the claims. But I repeated them a lot, and I was making a pretty good amount of money doing it. And now that they're coming after me, I'm folding. Now, to the larger case. To the larger case. Now, I understand, but I do want to be at least a little bit understanding of somebody who's been under a tremendous amount of pressure for a long time. I mean, this is what it looks like to cave. I get it. These people have been put through the ringer. So I do have some sympathy for that. But to the larger case, as I said I was going to get to, Kilmeade had Jonathan Turley on to talk about this case. Because it's not just Jenna Ellis, although she's been the worst. You know, Sidney Powell took a plea deal. Mark Meadows looked like he took a plea deal. And everybody's saying, oh, these people are turning on Trump. I don't necessarily see that. Maybe Jenna Ellis will. And if she does, you know, this clip that I've got here will showcase what that means for Trump. And you'll be a little bit surprised. But Sidney Powell, Mark Meadows, I don't think these people are. And even if they try to turn on Trump, keep in mind that what the Georgia court has to prove is that Trump was knowingly lying and trying to convince people to do something that he knew was false. That would mean that this whole time, you and I and everybody else have seen Trump talk about the election was stolen, the election was stolen, that he's been... He knows that it wasn't and just keeps saying it, even though people have been now telling him to shut up for years. Yeah, sorry, that ain't going to happen. You're not going to prove that Trump is lying to himself. Like, that's what they have to prove to make this case. Now, regarding all of his circle here and some of these judges, Jen Allison and not judges, but his counsel, turning on him, so to speak, what are they actually going to be able to provide? That's the big question. And if you look this topic up, you're going to find a whole lot of news stories on how this is the end of Trump. Trump's going to be in jail. Well, listen to this about a minute clip here of Jonathan Turley, who, now you talk about clear-eyed, this dude knows what he's talking about. And I left Kilmeade's reaction at the end just because I'm like, yeah, that's mine too. All right, here you go.
No, I don't think you are missing anything. I said the same thing when these pleas came down and everyone said, oh, this is the end of Trump. And I said, you know, I wouldn't say that. I mean, first of all, these pleas were to very specific crimes with regard to a couple of these attorneys in terms of getting unauthorized access to election areas. Those are easy to prove. They're misdemeanors. They got a deal where they could walk without jail time. It does not necessarily mean that they're going to establish a racketeering claim. They didn't plead guilty to racketeering. They didn't plead guilty to conspiracy. Now, Ellis may be a problem because she has become fairly opposed or hostile to Trump. I mean, she's made some public comments about Trump. And, you know, there may be animus there. But once again, your point's a good one. You know, you can't have it, putting aside the fact you're using attorneys against a client, these attorneys are essentially saying, how dare you believe what I told you?
Right. Isn't that great? The whole case, if they flipped, because it's not even guaranteed that they're giving them any sort of information. But let's say they do. And they're like, yeah, now I hate Trump. Let me go against him. I'm working with you now, Fannie Willis or whatever her name is in Georgia, to prosecute Trump for racketeering and conspiracy. I think he was wrong the whole time. I'm going to work with you. And now they're saying, he's guilty of believing my advice. Like, what? So he's guilty because all the things I made up is what they would have to be saying. I made up a bunch of facts, gave them to my client. He's guilty of believing me. This case is going nowhere. We'll be right back. What she
said. Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind.
Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.